podcast that teaches you how to have a higher quality sex life, where I share cutting edge research in neuroscience and psychology, relatable stories, and practical mindfulness-based skills so that you can maximize your pleasure potential and unlock more awareness and energy in every area of your life. I am Master Life Coach and Mindfulness Expert Danielle Savory, and I am thrilled to be on this journey with you. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to It's My Pleasure podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Savory. And how are you guys today? I'm doing good. Today, well, this week has been a week. You know, when you just have one of those weeks and you're just like, holy shit. And something happened to me. Well, something occurred in my life. Didn't happen to me. Occurred in my life earlier in the week that was riddled with so many uncomfortable emotions. Sometimes I call them negative emotions, but one of the reasons I like to call them uncomfortable emotions because negative has this connotation that it's bad. And I don't think that any emotions are bad to have, right? I just think negative is we understand what that word means. And so if you hear me use it, it's because of the association with it, not because I think that they're bad. Anyway, one of the things that I think is so fascinating as you continue on whatever kind of like personal growth journey it is when you're giving yourself permission to like really feel it, like really live the human experience. And there was so, like, I can't even explain how much discomfort, physical discomfort was occurring in my body over the course of a couple of days. And a lot of fear, a lot of acts of courage and bravery. And the thing being on the other side of it that I just wanted to share with you guys before we really get into this episode is just that we forget that we really truly do have the capacity to do hard things. And going through this experience, one of the things that I came out with on the other side was, wow, like I'm really growing my capacity to feel discomfort, to feel hard things, to feel fear at such an extreme level. But the thing that I loved about this experience that maybe I haven't gone through it at this level before was becoming the observer, right? We talk about that a lot on this podcast, like really dropping in and becoming the observer, because I could watch the emotions, I could watch the thoughts, I could watch, like, you know, having this conviction, knowing like my intuition and my gut, and then making a decision and then watching my fearful brain just like an army, just like rushing in with like all of the other thoughts, you know, all of these thoughts and opinions about what could happen if I made this decision and blah, 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 right? And I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's there. This army is really here to keep me safe in its opinion, right? To keep me safe by keeping me in the familiar, by keeping me comfortable. And when you start to see that and you start to see that it can be right there and you can keep moving and you get to the other side of all of this discomfort and all of the fear, you feel bigger. I don't really know how to explain it, but you really do truly now have the experience and the evidence of moving through something hard that you have a larger capacity. You've not only grown your courage muscle, but you've grown your capacity to feel uncomfortable emotions, and you didn't die. That is such a great reminder when we go through these experiences, when we allow ourselves to feel these uncomfortable emotions, when we get to the other side of them, that we can borrow then in other areas of our lives. So this was something in my personal life, but one of the things that I like to take away from this is it allows me to remind myself when I'm wanting to do big, scary things in my business that I have the capacity to feel uncomfortable emotions. Like the fear of failure doesn't seem that big of a deal because I'm like, oh, well, if I fail, then it's just going to be an uncomfortable emotion. And I know that I can deal with that. I know I can handle that. I know I can totally be on the other side of that and be with it. So anyway, I just wanted to briefly share that with you. But Today, we have such a special episode, and I want you guys to make sure you check out at the end, too. I am doing a free training. If you're listening to this right today, the day that it comes out, I'm already in the midst of the training, but it's not too late to sign up because there's going to be replays. So sign up online, daniellesavory.com/free training. It's all about really getting clear about what it is you want in the bedroom. I don't think that we give ourselves permission to really ask ourselves this, to do the investigation of like, what feels good? What's pleasurable? What's here, right? And then how do we ask our partners for more of that? How do we ask for this in our lives? So make sure if you're not already registered, if you are, you're in, we're already like in the midst of having the best time of our lives. If you're not, it's not too late to sign up. Go ahead and sign up. I will still send you the replay, and you can catch the end of the training live. Okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode, which is a very special interview that I did with one of my colleagues and my friends, Dr. Sonia Wright. Dr. Sonia Wright is a midlife sex coach for women. Well, she's just a midlife sex coach, not just for women. And she is, it's so fun. Like, first of all, we had the best time talking because I love her brainiac brain. And you guys know me and I love to nerd out about stuff. And so it's just always fun to connect with somebody else that has a passion for science and the brain and anatomy and all of that fun stuff. But Dr. Sonia is a board certified radiologist, and she's also a trained sexual counselor and a certified life coach. And she uses all of these expertise to really help the people and her clients that she serves. She really is on a twofold mission here, right? And the number one is just to help in the emotional pain and isolation that comes with sexual dysfunction. And she just really wants to help women embrace their own sexuality. One of the things that we talked about in this interview that I absolutely love is how, you know, at this moment, this midlife type moment, there tends to be so much more permission. And she likes to help women lean into this permission with really finding out and owning their sexuality and being able to, you know, go on this smorgasbord and this investigation and deciding for themselves, like what lines up, what feels good, and really seeing that they can, in fact, have a mind-blowing sex life. I hope you guys enjoy this interview. Like I said, we had the best time. It was so fun to talk with Dr. Sonia about her clients, about the work that she does. And at the end of the episode, make sure that you check out in the show notes if you want to connect with her further on social media or on her website. Okay, hope you enjoy. Okay, Sonia, here we are. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so excited to be here as well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, this is so fun. So Sonia and I, we met at our mastermind. What was that, back in January?
Yes.
You know, it's always just fun. We were just chatting right before we got on, just like having another conversation with another sex coach. And so we think you guys are going to enjoy this. Just two sex coaches hanging out online, talking about our favorite topic.
Yay. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. So just to start with, you know, as I mentioned in the bio, you know, Sonia is obviously a very smart and talented woman, and she's a doctor of radiology. And I just want to, you know, I'm sure so many people are questioning, like, how did you get interested or even having an inclination to start coaching on sex? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I'm a pediatric radiologist and I love my job as a radiologist. I turned 50. I'm 53 now. So I turned 50 and I decided that I wanted to do more with my life, kind of come out from the shadows, per se, and to make a direct impact in a different way. And so I trained as a life coach, and I was doing life coaching for women, and the majority of my clients were in middle life, in their 40s to 60s. And the issue of sex just kept coming up again and again. Actually, the issue of not actually having sex was coming up again and again. And they would often ask me, and because I'm a doctor, they thought that I knew a lot about it. But most people don't realize that we don't get a lot of sexual education and training in medical school. very often your doctor doesn't know a lot about the topic as well. And so I was finding myself doing Google searches and I thought, okay, I really want to be able to provide a service to my clients and make sure that I'm giving them the proper information. So I enrolled in a program out of the University of Michigan for a sexual counseling certificate program. It's a year-long program and I did that program. And then I added it on to my life coaching. And so basically I have my medical education and my life coaching skills and my sexual counseling training. And I kind of bring them all together to be a sex coach.
I love it. So, but this is the thing, like, this is what I think is so special and unique about you, right? Is like a lot of people, like some people might come to me and I'm coaching them and like weight loss comes up, but I'm not going to go and like learn how to talk to people about weight loss or nutrition. Like I don't have any interest in that. So what really, like, because most people aren't going to be like, oh, all my clients are bringing up sex and I should help them on that, right? Like my clients bring up stuff all the time, but I'm like, oh yeah, there's an expert on that. Like what really made you be like, okay, yes, they're saying that they want this, but them saying they want this, there's an extra layer there, right? For you to be interested enough to go and learn about it.
Yeah. And you know, you'd have to go back 30 something years when I was an undergraduate at Stanford University. I was a volunteer, a student volunteer in the Contraceptive Information Center. And Wednesday afternoons were my afternoon to do the diaphragm clinic. A lot of your reader listeners may not even know what a diaphragm is.
It was
a form of contraceptive that we used back in the 80s, you know. I mean, I've always had an interest in it, I'd have to say. And it was kind of piqued again by working with my clients. And then I was like, you know, I have no problem talking about sex. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a great thing. It's very enjoyable. And if this is what the service that my clients need, that's not hard for me to continue to learn it. And I'm like a continuous learner, a lifetime learner. And so the thought of learning more about sex for the rest of my life, that sounded like a good plan.
Yeah. Wow. I don't disagree with you there. So when you think then, even just saying like lifetime, you know, learner in this, like because your interest was so piqued in this and because you dove into it, do you see yourself like sticking with this? Like this is the thing. And if so, why? Or do you think you're going to continue just to grow and evolve and incorporate more things into your practice?
You know, I think that this will be the main focus of my practice. And the reason for that is that I see the benefit that comes from the work that I do. I love my clients and I see what a difference my working with them is making in their lives. And being a sexual counselor, or being a sex coach, you incorporate so many aspects. It's not, and you know this definitely, that it's not just about penetrative sex in the bedroom. It's so much about outside of the bedroom. So I get to do my life coaching. I get to do the sex coaching as well. I'm continuously learning. I'm working with my clients and making a difference in their lives. And this is very rewarding. So yes, I'll continue to do this as my main focus.
Woohoo! I was hoping you'd say that. It's so fun. I was like, oh, you got it. You got to stick with it because you're amazing at it. So when you say like, oh, I just see all these benefits. I love working with my clients. I see how it's changing their life. Like, I want you to give the audience kind of an idea. Like, I think actually last episode, I really talked about like the impact of coaching and how this, you know, like what that looks like. But even just think in your head of a couple of clients. And I would love for you to illustrate for the listeners, like what are the benefits, right? Because, you know, I think they're like, okay, great, I have better sex. But like, beyond that, like, what does it really do for these women when they're able to have more pleasurable sex?
You know, there's so many aspects that it addresses. One of the main aspects that it addresses is sexual intimacy and intimacy in general in their relationships. There's that connection that grows with your partner that might have been severed or, you know, derailed a little bit. And in order to have the sexual intimacy, there's a layer of intimacy that, or the foundation of intimacy that has to be there. So working with my clients, I see that foundation of intimacy developing again and getting more solid than it was before. And so that's a very satisfying aspect of it. The empowerment of women, to help women to figure out what it is that they want and to figure out how they need to ask for it and to get it, as you know, it is a right. I think it's a basic human right to have sexual pleasure and to be able to help women get empowered in that way. And that spills out into all aspects of their life. Then they start working on their boundary issues at work, you know, and the life balance that they have, you know, that they want so they're not so stressed out. So it impacts so many different areas.
Yeah, I love it. And then specifically, like, I want you to just talk about, like, so for women in midlife, because that's kind of your focus. So for women in midlife, right, how does that, and we'll specifically talk more about, like, the kind of things that you see with them in your practice, but how do you see that being different, right? Like, at this period of their life, at this time, at this age, why is this so important?
I think midlife is an incredible time for a woman. I just think it's an amazing time. When you're in your 20s, you're like the life cycle or the beginning life cycle of a woman is like you get an education, you get a job, you find the mate, you get married, you have the children if you choose. You're like on a trajectory. And supposedly you're supposed to hit nirvana somewhere after you have the children. You had the career, the marriage, like, and then you hit nirvana and you're like, it's all here. And the midlife is kind of a reckoning where you look around, you're like, is this it?
Yeah.
You know, I've been working, I've been on this train for so long and I'm supposed to get to that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in your midlife, that's when you have more of an opportunity to really look at your life and choose to make it the way you want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time where maybe the kids are not as young, you know, maybe they're not 5 or 6, but maybe they're 13 and 14 and they need you to drive them around, but not quite need you every moment of the day. You know, you're established in your career. The demands are different, right? And so you can devote more time to really looking and saying, you know, this is not exactly how I expected my life to be. It's not bad, but there's other things that could make it better. And what exactly do I want to do in order to make it better? You have the time and the energy to work on it, to kind of craft the life. I always say that, you know, women in midlife are the sculptor and the sculpture. So you can actually work on your life and creating the life that you actually want. And that's why I love working with women in midlife. But I also like it because it's a time where they're starting to give themselves permission to be who they are and to address whatever issues or something they felt that they could not necessarily address in their 20s and 30s. But their life is also changing health-wise. They're heading into perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah. Will you talk about that for a minute? Because I've had, you know, I've had some listeners and also just some, you know, people through, you know, my clients and also just through social media, like talk about the struggles there. Can we just pause for a minute and just have you like, I'd love to hear you just talk about those specific, you know, like what your clients present with perimenopausal and menopause and all of that stuff as it relates to their sex drive.
Perimenopause and menopause, that's kind of a unique time in a woman's life. And the fertility years are kind of waning and they're getting to this place where they start to think, okay, what is sex about? If it was before for procreation and things like that, if they had that concept in the past, you know, now you're at this place where you're like, okay, sex can really be about me and nothing else. And it's for my pleasure. Right. But it's also at the same time when your hormones are changing and your body is doing things. I actually call it the second puberty because you're having a shift in your hormones. All of a sudden, your body's doing things that it never did before. And you find yourself responding differently, like stimulation that on your clitoris or whatever that might have been enjoyable in the past in your 20s and 30s. Suddenly in your 40s, everything's too sensitive. You don't like that touch the way it is. You know, things are really changing. Your body's not responding the way it did previously. So I really call it the second puberty. And you have to figure out how to be in this new body that you have and things may not be perfect. You know, you may not have that flat tummy you had when you were 25, you know, you've had some kids now it's kind of rounded and you have to get to that place of embracing and loving your body as it is now. And so you can enjoy sex, not like if I lose 10 pounds, then I'll be more attractive and I can enjoy sex. It's like, no, this is where you are. You're beautiful. You're an amazing person right now. And we're going to go and figure out how to enjoy sex and how to have pleasure now. We're not waiting a day longer.
Yeah. I think so many people, they get the concept, right? They're like, okay, I should just love my body now. But the fact of the matter is they don't, right? And I think this goes for any woman, whether, you know, like you said, like they're going through this body where it doesn't feel the same, right? I think it can apply to women right after they give birth to babies. Everything is a little bit different. I think it can apply, you know, if you're faced with a chronic illness, like all of it, right? It all kind of goes into this place. Like, I'm not really in love with these changes. Like, this is not how it used to be. This is a totally different, like, I like to think of it. It's like my earth suit is just totally changed. So when you're helping clients, like, how specifically do you help them if they're just like, this sucks, this is uncomfortable, this is painful, this doesn't feel good, I don't like this, to a place where they're like, I'm beautiful and I love myself? Like, that feels like such a far leap for so many people.
Yeah. And it's not a leap. It's not like one bound and you're there, boom. You know, it's a process. It's definitely a long process. And basically, it's, you know, grieving can be a part of it. There's a loss. There's an element of loss of what was before, but also a celebration of what is and what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a life coach, right? So I bring it back to the basics. What are your thoughts about your body? What are you feeling right now? What are you thinking about your body? Let's examine this. Let's examine it from kind of, okay, you have a body, a pretty neutral, basic place. What are you thinking about it? Write it all down. Let's look at it. Let's not sit there in a place of frustration or anger or disappointment or whatever. Let's just look at all the thoughts that you have about your body. And then can we love our body with all these things that we have? You know, we basically have to be our own best friend. We have to really appreciate the body that we have. Look in the mirror, see who you are, start to ask questions about what parts of your body do you love? You know, focus on those parts. What parts of the body do you not love? For women in midlife, it often comes down to the abdomen. You know, they love their arms. They love their, like, from their knees down. But there's like a whole piece in between that's missing.
Which happens to be where their sex is too, right? It's just like in the middle,
right, exactly,
of all of these things they think are not okay.
Exactly.
And then they just shove, yeah, this part in the middle. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, how can you really be in your body and be in this sexual experience when you're thinking, do I look too fat in this way? You know, is my body right? I don't think I'm very attractive. You know, that takes you away and right out of where you should be, which is, damn, this is good. And I'm having a good time with this. My body's fabulous. And look how it's responding. This is amazing. You know, so I work with my clients to find the amazing part, what they really love about their bodies, the gift that their bodies have given them. If they're parents, if they're moms, and we talk about, you know, look how amazing your body created a miracle of life. It's an amazing body. Your body gives you pleasure. You know, I love the clitoris. It's an amazing, or people just think it's that little teeny bit.
No, it's so big.
It's so big. It's so wonderful. Like, it's got so many nerve endings on it,
yeah,
and it's made for your pleasure. It wraps around the opening of your vagina. It is amazing. You are meant for pleasure. Your body is amazing. Look at all the fascinating things your body can do. So that's where it helps having my medical degree, because I can just throw a little bit of medical knowledge in there as well. And I'm a radiologist, so anatomy is something that I love as well. And so kind of break it all down and kind of bring it back together and have them to at least get to a place of neutrality about their body, and then start to get to more of a place of fascination about how their body is working and how it's working for them, and it keeps them alive and it lets them enjoy this life.
Yeah, I love everything you're saying. And I also just love that we share that, like, nerdiness for the science and the anatomy side, because it's true, right? Like, when you're saying that about the clitoris, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Like, it's so true, because it's like, even I used to, like, after I got back from my undergrad degree and was doing this stuff on this glass bottom boat, like, it makes me think of seaweed, right? Because you only see, like, the bulbous part of seaweed, because I worked in Alaska, right? So it's like, you only see, like, these little floaty parts of the seaweed, like, on top of the surface of the ocean. But then, because we have the glass bottom boat and we go underneath, you can see that there's, like, this entire seaweed forest. And that's exactly, like, the visual I think of when you think of, like, you know, the clitoris and all of the nerve endings. And I'm like, it's like the seaweed forest. You're just seeing like the one little air pocket,
that little teeny tip,
that's trying to help us with photosynthesis. That's all we're seeing. But there's all of this down here. You don't even know.
There's so much more.
There's we like spend an hour talking about the clitoris.
I know. Maybe we should. Maybe we should just have like a clitoris chat someday. Just all talk about it. So I love what you said, because I think a lot of people don't do this. And I know from personal experience, when I got really sick and spent 2 years in bed, like that I didn't know at the time, and I eventually learned it, but that grieving process of something that you once had that you don't have anymore, or things that are changed. And I love that you mentioned that, because I feel like that's such a huge part that we don't give ourselves permission. We're just like, oh, well, I just need to jump ahead and embrace this other part of who I am now. And we don't spend time doing the grieving. Why do you think it's so important that we do, or that you have your clients do that?
Well, you know, the grieving takes up so much emotional space and energy, right? And blocking off from that grieving is what's causing a lot of the tension and pain in their life. But if you can do the hard work of recognizing and acknowledging the grieving and sit with it. And that's the hard part, to sit with it and say, yeah, you know, I've worked with clients who their partner, if they have a male partner and has gone through prostate cancer and is now dealing with erectile dysfunction and incontinence, and their sex life has changed. And people around them are saying, oh, well, you're lucky he's alive and it's great. And, you know, the cancer is gone for, and everybody's, and people are not allowing that place for the grieving. And there's no place for that person to go to talk about the issues that are coming up secondary to this. And of course, she's happy that her spouse is healthy, but they don't have any place to go to process. And if they're not communicating, that can be a hard thing as well. So if you allow the space to grieve, you get through that place of grief. And it's not something you do in an hour or in a day. And, it, you know, things tend to be kind of circular, and you go deeper and you go down to another. Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you're going to deal with this grief once in one session and then it's over with. No, it doesn't necessarily work that way. But if you acknowledge that grief, then you can kind of come back out from it, and you can make room for, okay, so this is the way it is. This is what's going on at this point in time. Now, how do I deal with what's going on at this point in time? You know, I've been given that opportunity to have the grieving and to acknowledge where I am and to kind of go from there.
Yeah. And I loved you brought up this change in our partner too, because I think that does become a huge thing, right? If something's gone on with our partner and things look different there, that we can still grieve it. It doesn't mean that we don't have gratitude, you know, and I think this comes up so often with women, right? Even with their body. And like, I remember I went through a grieving period, and this might sound silly, but like with my breasts, like after, you know, nursing and after breastfeeding for so many years, like I used to have, I mean, they're still great, but like, I feel like I was like, I used to have fabulous boobs and I really like them, right? And you're like, oh, I'm like in doggy style and I'm looking down and I'm like, what in the actual hell is going on? I was like, I'm going to get a black eye. Like, this is...
That's so true.
That's right. And I'm like, this looks like a water balloon being filled up. This is not like my voluptuous breast. And so I realized, like, I like was hearing these things like, oh, but you got to feed your babies and there's this and like all of that. But like, it was washing over the fact that there was sadness there, right? Like there was something that's changed. And I love what you're saying is like, it's going to take up space anyway, right? So if we're resisting the sadness, then we're only making the problem worse, because it doesn't mean that it's not there just because we're not paying attention to it. It's still there. So we might as well give ourselves the opportunity to do, you know, and it is a little bit hard to lean into it, but like they say in the psychology world, right? It's like whatever resists persists. And if you don't give yourself permission to be like, yeah, I don't have the titties I used to have, that's sad, then it's hard to move on from that.
It's true. Sometimes it's hard, but yeah, if you have the grieving and you take the time and you have the acknowledgement and you're like, yeah, these things need a good bra now, you know, they're not perky and sitting up on their own.
Yeah. And that's okay. And I love you. And that's right? Okay. Yeah. And it's coming back to like, I love you anyway, right? Because
I love you anyway. And that's okay. Yes.
Yes. It's okay. This is different. I'm kind of sad things have changed. It's like when your kids get older, like what my kids deal with now, I'm like, I kind of have to grieve, like, them being, you know, younger and so sweet and cute. It's not that I don't love you any less now, but I have to let go of that older or that younger version of you.
Yes, I have a 20-year-old and I still miss the 8-year-old sometimes.
So stinking cute. So cute. I love it so much. So let's go back to like this permission. Right. That's one of the things that I love that you said when you're just saying like in this age, like, first off, I would love to know, like, why do you think, or what do you think really shifts during like, you know, midlife where all of a sudden women give themselves like more permission than they did previously?
That is a great question. That is really a great question. What shifts and what changes in midlife? I think that society does not know how to define a woman in midlife. Society spends a lot of time defining what's a good girl and what's a bad girl, and, you know, and how to control women to a certain extent in their 20s and 30s. And when their reproductive years are gone, there's not really a specific definition of what a woman in midlife should do. And she finally gets to own herself if she has not given herself permission before. She finally, you know, the reins are let loose and she can be who she wants to be at this point in time. And I often use this concept that I'm part of the DVV, which is the Department of Vulvas and Vaginas. Like, I kind of see myself as behind the desk with this stamp. And there's a lot of women out there that have a learner's permit. And it's time to upgrade from that learner's permit to a license. You know, it's your body, it's your vulva, it's your vagina. It's time to get to know it. Give yourself permission to find that source of pleasure for you and enjoy sexual pleasure. Give yourself that permission to be you and to express yourself in whatever way you choose to.
And I love what you, like how you answered this question, right? Because I didn't even know where this question was really coming from or where it would go. But I love this idea, right, of that there being less labels during this age, right? Like there is like this, like exactly what you said. Like I feel like we go from like, you know, the child, the maiden, the girl kind of thing. We have defined roles as a wife, as a mother, as a budding professional. And then there's kind of this place left out. And then it's like the old woman. We kind of
exactly
to deal, right.
And it used to be at one point, the old woman was like from 40 to 100, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, that's such a good point. Cause when you think about it, you're like, yeah, what about this whole, like, cause it comes back to that middle part, right? Like, what about this whole part in the middle? What happened to her? You know, and society doesn't talk about her. We don't see her as much in movies. We don't see her in depiction. We're not told, which is so freeing not to be told who and what we are.
It is. It's a very, very freeing time in our lives. I'm 53. I love being in my 50s. I'm going to really enjoy being in my 60s. I get to define who I am. And I'm like, you know, I'm 50 something. Please don't even try to tell me what to do.
I love it. So that mindset is different from many of the women, you know. I think you and I have some overlap. I think I help, like, you know, very late 20s to late 40s kind of thing tends to be my clientele. But for the listeners that are listening in on this and are younger and are not at that place where they're still being defined by a lot of societal standards, how would you recommend them not just waiting till they get to midlife, but how to like borrow and start getting into this mental state of giving themselves permission?
You know, my focus on my practice is 40 to 6-year-olds, but in all actuality, a fair percentage of my clients are in their 30s through their 70s. So I love this younger generation. I am in awe of them. There are so many amazing women in their 20s and early 30s that are owning this. They're not waiting till they get to their midlife. And I am rooting and cheering for them. So that they're taking control. There's a lot of women in that, in the younger age range, that are taking control of the situation, and they're choosing their life now. And they're not necessarily listening to societal's ideas of how their life should be. So for those, I applaud. For the others that are trying to figure it out, I also applaud you too for, you know, investigating and trying to figure it out. I would say, don't wait. Once you recognize that you actually have the power and you have the ability to make your life choices, and once you get past approval, people pleasing is a big thing for women, and especially in our 20s and 30s. And then you get to a certain age where you're like, yeah, this hasn't really worked for me, this people pleasing thing. So I would say for women that are in their 20s, that is a time for them to own their own sexuality and to be aware of what their wants and needs are. And not necessarily to focus on people pleasing, but to really start to evaluate what they want their sex life to be, how they want to enjoy who they are. If they're dealing with any sex-related sexual dysfunctions that are coming out, to go and get some care, go check with your gynecologist, but also reach out to sex coaches. I deal with a number of women that are dealing with vaginismus, which is spasming of the pelvic floor. I saw that you had a physical therapist on before, so you're familiar with this concept. But it usually starts in their 20s or in their teenage years as well. And some of my clients have gone for 10, 15 years before they've actually gone and dealt with this issue. So if there's anything that you're dealing with in your 20s, that start dealing with it right now and know that it can change and you can take ownership and give yourself permission and enjoy.
Yes. Official permission slip from Dr. Sonia.
It's got the stamp from the DVV.
Yeah, the DVV. Yes, I love it. Vulva and vaginas. So going even beyond that, so I think that sometimes like the misconception out there is that, like, of course, reach out if there's sexual dysfunction, right? Of course, reach out if you're actually having, you know, some type of problem, whether that's, I think it should be a combination, honestly, of so much, because when you have a dysfunction of any kind physically, it's going to mess with your mind, talking from experience. So dealing with working with a coach or a therapist, whatever your preference is crucial. But beyond that, like, I think some of the misconception, or when I'm talking to people, it's not just permission if there is a problem, it's if things are okay. So what would you say, like, to those people that are like, yeah, I mean, I have a decent sex life. Like, why do you think women like that might want to reach out to a sex coach or do this kind of work if they're like, yeah, it's fine?
Well, you know, if they're saying, yeah, it's fine in that manner, then there's kind of a question in the back of their mind that is it good enough? Is there more out there? And they have the right to really experience mind-blowing sex, you know, to have an incredible, not to wait till your 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, start now. If the potential is there, and make the most of it. So if it's fine, then I would ask them to describe or discuss with me what exactly is fine about it, you know, because usually it's... there's like an element of resignation in there, just expecting, like, it's good enough, you know, which of course I question that. That's my job as a life coach, right? Or as a sex coach, is good enough is not generally good enough.
Good enough is not good enough. I mean, I know it's our thoughts and our opinions, but you guys just need to listen to us. Like, if you're just saying like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, where you have like decent sex, like, woman, it can be so much better.
Yeah, like if I had Sonia in the room in her 20s and sat her down, I'd be like, look.
You don't even know.
Exactly.
You need to listen to me right now.
Listen to me right now and get on it. I'm going to make a list for you and you go for it.
Yeah. And I think that's like such the beauty, you know, because I have, I think, two different kind of clients that come to me, like people who feel like they need it, as in like, I can't go on like this any longer, right? Like, this has been a pain point in my life for a long time. Like, I'm ready to fix it. I'm ready to have that connection. And then I have women that come to me and they're like, I just feel like I'm missing out. Like, there's something more here. Like, it's fine, but like, I want it. And that permission they're giving themselves to like want something more, I think is so beautiful.
Yeah. And it's so much fun doing the investigation to figure out what it is that you want. It's kind of like if they come to me and they want to know more, they want to figure it out. I'm like, let's do it. Let's go on this journey. Like I'm your guide, you know, I'm here for you. Let's figure out what you're interested in. I have clients that, you know, I deal with sexual dysfunction. I deal with so many different issues. I also deal with people that want to investigate alternative lifestyles, you know, if they want to look at BDSM or kink or ethical non-monogamy, I'm right there with them. Let's explore this. Let's learn about these issues. You know, if they're evaluating their sexual orientation, I'm like, okay, let's look at this. Let's evaluate it. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. There's so many different aspects to sex and sexuality. And I'm here for you, whatever it is. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's find it. I love that. Just like, let me be your guide on your journey. And just that idea of investigation. Because when you think of it like that, it's just so fun. It gets to be this playful curiosity and not so serious, which is how I think so many people think about sex is like this serious thing.
Yeah. So, you know, if you come at sex from a neutral position, there's so much negativity that can be laden on top of sex, you know. And if you pull all that off and you just come from a neutral place, this is sex. This is the act of sex. There's so many different aspects of it. You know, let's see what you like. Another concept that I work with my clients is I call it the sex buffet. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe you're not in the mood for penetrative sex or, you know, all day long or every single day, but there's so much more. It's like a sexual smorgasbord. Let's work on your smorgasbord. Yeah. Let's figure this out. You know, it's all about,
do you want a fruit salad? Do you want, you know,
protein? Mustard on the side?
You got a lot of choices here.
A lot of choices here. So I work with my clients as well with that concept and to just coming from a place of neutrality and then adding on a layer of fun. I you can tell I like to have fun with my clients. I like to talk and laugh. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes it's some painful stuff we're dealing with. But at the same time, there's life is 50-50, right? There's a balance there. And we address it and we kind of go from there.
Yeah. And it's so much nicer, like you said, like those tears, like for sure they come up, right? As they do in most things when we start to investigate. But when you're working with somebody and you're holding this beautiful container for them, it's like there's room for all the human emotions, like this extreme pleasure, like we're talking about, this mind-blowing sex, this fun, this playfulness, and also the grieving. And also the sadness and the frustration or whatever else comes up. I love it. Oh, this has been so fun. So one last question before we wrap it up for today. I am wondering, so I ask this question for all of my guests that come on, is what, like, how do you think the world would change if more women were pleasured?
The world would be an incredible place if more women were pleasured. You know, if this were, I mean, it's true that the world is formulated on the backs of women, right? Women are what hold the world together. And imagine if the women were focused on pleasure. It would be such a peaceful, joy-inspiring society, you know? The world would be a pleasurable place. It would just be a place of love and kindness and compassion. It would be a good.
Yeah, I love it. It's so funny when you were giving this answer, I pictured like a little Sonia, like giving like in front of like the, you know, the school audience or something and giving a speech about like saving world peace. But it's like one vagina at a time.
I know, one good earth at a time. You over there.
So how do you think we're going to have world peace? Well, let me show you the anatomy of the clitoris. This is the answer.
This is the center of world peace. This is the answer.
It is the epicenter of world peace.
It is in all actuality. Mm-hmm. In all actuality.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. And how can people connect with you if they want to learn more about your work or what you do or want to reach out to you for coaching or anything else? How do they find you?
Yeah, sure. They can email me directly at drsonia@themidlifesexcoach.com. They can check out my website as well, which is themidlifesexcoach.com. I'm also on Facebook. And those are the main ways they can get a hold of me.
Wonderful. And I will connect all of those in the show notes. So you no need to get your pen and paper out. You can just visit the show notes. And I highly recommend you follow Dr. Sonia. She is there for all your midlife sexual needs and beyond.
So thank you so much.
Thank you. My goodness, that was such a fun interview. I think that I am just leave myself with the visual and this idea. I feel like I just need to make a graphic of it, right? Of like that the clitoris is the epicenter and the solution for world peace. What a beautiful visual, right? Anyway, it's been my pleasure to present this episode with Dr. Sonia with you. And I hope that it helps you find your pleasure as well in midlife and beyond. Hope you guys all have a wonderful week. I'm so excited to connect with you. And if you do want to connect further, if you have any questions you'd like for me to answer on the podcast, please reach out. You can go ahead and go to daniellesavory.com and just say contact me form. And if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, I think I have only 2 spots left to work with me for the rest of the year. I'd love to talk with you. Let's hop on the phone next week and chat about how coaching and sex coaching can take you to the next level of your pleasure and beyond. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week. Talk with you later.